Let's read again in Psalm 78. Let's turn back to Psalm 78 now and let's think about some of the verses there. We're going to look especially at the first eight or so verses of Psalm 78. And speaking about God's revelation to his people of himself and of his law, verse 4 says, "We will not hide these things from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done." So we finished the series we were doing on Lifeline, and I'm not sure what we're going to be thinking about after I come back from holiday, but this is a message just to focus in on something that's very topical just now. And that is teaching our children about Jesus, which of course is something that the Holiday Club is about, and it's something the camps are about, and obviously the ongoing work of the church is very much focused on that in our Sunday schools and Bible classes, as well as it being the responsibility of Christian parents, indeed of all parents, to teach their children about the Lord Jesus. So the message this morning is about indoctrination, okay? Indoctrination. I'm going to preach a sermon on indoctrination. You think, what? Indoctrination? Isn't that something we're not supposed to do? Well, of course, we're all being indoctrinated all the time. We're all being indoctrinated, whether we've been indoctrinated by the adverts on our television, whether we've been indoctrinated by our politicians, whether we've been indoctrinated by the kind of people who are our heroes, whose lifestyles we follow, or whether we've been indoctrinated by the church, we're all being indoctrinated all the time. We're all being taught lifestyle choices. We're all being taught morals. We're all being taught about God or about the absence of God, depending on who's doing the teaching. All the time. So it's part of the church's responsibility in that noise of indoctrination that's going on in our land and in our community to try and make sure that the voice of Jesus is clearly heard among our children and young people, as well as among the adults of the population. So we have things like the holiday clubs, and we've got the holiday club coming up this week. Why? Why are we doing holiday club? Why is Heather taking a week off her holiday on holiday to do holiday club when she could be sunning herself on the beach in Lanzarote? Heather probably wouldn't choose to do that, I don't think. But why? Is it because we just like singing silly songs and doing crazy actions? Is it because we like making fancy crafts, cool crafts for the kids, unusual crafts? Is it because we like playing the daft games that Willie will be making up for us this week, perhaps? What is it? Well, yeah, we do. We like doing all these things. Well, I do anyway. I can let off a bit of steam at Holiday Club, and I enjoy that. But why? Why do we do it? We do it because, really, as the psalm begins, "Hear my teaching." We want children and young people to hear the teaching about Jesus. And if we just take a quick trip through the first eight verses or so of the psalm, we can see that this psalm, which is positioned in the history of the Bible, probably around about the reign of David. So obviously a lot hasn't happened yet. We haven't got Jesus and the New Testament church, but we have got the law and we have got the Exodus and so on. We've got the life of Abraham and various other things. This teaching about God, about the law, about the history of God's people, first of all, it must be told. It must be told, according to the psalm. What we have heard and known, verse 3, what our fathers have told us, verse 4, we will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation, verse 6, so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. So in the psalm, what people know about God at the time the psalm's written has to be kept being told. It has to be propagated. This is something that God makes very clear early in the history of his people. Deuteronomy says this time and time again. Deuteronomy 4:9, do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart. As long as you live, teach them to your children and to their children after you. And in the Bible club, the holiday club, we'll be doing that. And hopefully we'll not just be teaching the church children, we'll be teaching the children from out with the church. And again, Deuteronomy was told to do that. Teach the children of foreigners, Deuteronomy says in chapter 31. Their children who do not know this law must hear it and learn to fear the Lord. So we must tell what we know about Jesus. It's not something we can keep to ourselves. It's not something we can keep from our children. And it's not something we can keep from the community. We must tell. But this teaching about Jesus that we have, it must be trusted, secondly. Verse 7, to teach. Then, verse 7, they would put their trust in God. We teach so that people can trust. I teach so you can trust what Jesus has done for you and what God says in his word. And it must be trusted because it's true. Now, of course, we can't make other people trust, and I can't make you trust. But at least if we teach, people have the opportunity to trust God's word, to trust Jesus Christ. We must teach, it must be told, it must be trusted. And we pray that our children this week and our young people this week will trust what they hear about Jesus. We've got a prayer meeting on Wednesday. And I guess that will be the main focus of the prayer meeting on Wednesday. If you can, come along at 7:30 to pray for the Bible club and the camps as well. And also our teaching about Jesus has got to be treasured. It must be told, it must be trusted, and it must be treasured. Verse 7, that they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds. What deeds? Well, verse 4 describes the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. We want to pass on to people, to our children, a delight in Jesus and in his praiseworthy deeds. We want them to delight in him. We want them to know the wonders that God has done. We want them to regard with delight what we hopefully regard with delight. We want them to treasure these things like a rich man treasures his wealth. And our teaching must be told then for these reasons. It must be trusted, it must be treasured, and it must be told because God commands us to do. This is one of the basic commandments that God gives to us. Verse 5, he commanded our forefathers to teach their children. And it's a constant theme throughout the Bible. I could share lots of passages on this theme. So what we're saying this morning is, particularly with regard to our children and why we do holiday clubs and why we do camps and why people make great sacrifices. And I just think of my friends up in Glenelg and Kintail this past week who've made tremendous sacrifices to run the holiday club. They've given up a week of their lives. They've given a lot of energy. They've done a lot of preparation, they've done a lot of prayer, they've done a lot of organising. It's cost them financially in different ways. They've paid for a lot of the resources themselves, and they've given up a lot of sleep, some of them. They'll all be exhausted. They'll all be exhausted this weekend. Why have they done it? Because they and we want to indoctrinate our children and our young people in the hope that, as the proverb says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, when I use the word indoctrination, I know it's not a popular word because it can remind us of the indoctrination of Hitler youth or of the communist youth in the 20th century. But we do want the doctrine of Jesus to be inculcated into the lives of our young people, but we do it sympathetically, we do it lovingly, we do it in a way that engages them, we do it in a way that draws them to Jesus. And we do it because Jesus said, "Allow the little children to come to me, do not forbid them, because of such is the kingdom of heaven." Right, so that's the position of the church. And at this point, if any liberal elite person is sitting in the pew here today, or happens to listen to this sermon on the internet, they're going to throw up their hands in horror. Whoa, you can't do that to our kids. That's child abuse. Children need to be left alone to make up their own minds. That's the position of so many today. And many parents today, they parrot that position. They say, "Well, I don't teach my children about God. I want them to make up their own minds when they're older." And that kind of sounds right in a way, doesn't it? "Don't teach my children about God because I want them to make up their own minds." It does kind of sound right until you start to use your brain. Because, first of all, it's often just a cloak for ignorance. You know, often parents can't teach their children about God because they don't know God themselves. They can't even teach their children about morals because often they're confused about morals themselves. They don't have a worthwhile set of values and beliefs to pass on to their kids. And often that position, "I want them to make up their own mind," is a cloak for laziness. Parents often just abnegate their responsibility to teach their children, and they leave the responsibility with the school, or they leave it with the television or whatever. And then they blame other people when their kids go wrong. And sometimes it can be just plain a cloak for unloving parenting, for parents who just can't be bothered with their kids, who don't have make the effort to have a good relationship with their kids so that they can teach them. It's also illogical. How can children make up their minds about something they don't know about? If children haven't been taught about Jesus in an environment where they can see the good effect that walking with Jesus has in a person's life, where they can see the kind of people that followers of Jesus are, if they haven't actually heard about Jesus in that context, how can they make up their minds as to whether it's a good thing or not to follow him? Children need the information. And you can't leave the RE department of the local high school to supply that information. The RE department of the local high school may be positively hostile towards Christianity. It's not always, thankfully it's not in our own community, but it can be very hostile. And if you've got an RE teacher who doesn't know Jesus himself or herself, how are they going to be able to convey to young people the thrill of living the Christian life? They can't. So young people need to see Christianity lived out, and they need to hear teaching about it from those who love Jesus. So it's illogical to expect that young people can make up their minds about God or make up their minds about Jesus if they don't have the information presented in a positive fashion. But then also, it's one-sided. If you don't teach your children about God, it's not like they're going to learn nothing. What they're going to learn is about a life without Jesus. And they're going to learn whatever takes Jesus' place. Because all children are learning a belief system today. And it may not be the Christian belief system. In fact, most of the time it isn't. Everyone has a belief system. I don't know if you saw this week, there was a big stramash about the Liberal Democrat leader, the new leader, Tim Farron, who's a Christian, and who was getting a hard time from the press. Especially they were trying to get him to say what he thought about homosexuality. And the Free Church's moderator weighed into the argument. He was on the programme Scotland 2015 this week. And he was making many points. He was saying the reason why they're questioning this man so hard is because they want to mock his Christianity, which probably is true. But also he made the point that why don't you ask other politicians about their belief systems? Because they've all got belief systems. Why don't you ask Muslim MPs about their belief systems? Why don't you ask atheist MPs about their belief system? And there was a journalist on with him on the programme who didn't seem to be able to understand that everyone had a belief system. In her mind, it seemed to be that only Christians have a belief system. Of course, everyone has a belief system. In our times with 6 years in Plockton High School over the years, when we have our big questions day, tremendous time. One of the things we've often done, Dave Mockett, the youth worker, myself and others, we've often done with the 6 years, is to show them that they all have a belief system. And many of them think that because they're not Christians, that they don't believe anything, and therefore they're kind of free of belief, or sort of blank slates, if you like. But of course, everyone believes something. Rejecting God is a belief. Rejecting Jesus is a belief. Believing in fairies is a belief. Believing in UFOs is a belief. Believing that the world came out of nothing, was not created by anyone or anything, but just happened to come into being of its own accord is a belief. In fact, that's a big faith required for that. Everyone believes. So our children are being taught belief systems all the time. Everyone is conveying to our children their belief system. When Psalm 78 was written, it was written at a time when there were belief systems all around Israel which were horrible. Horrible belief systems. If you wandered across the border from Israel into Edom or Moab or the land of the Philistines or the land of the Ammonites or whatever, if you wandered across the border and had a little look to see what they were teaching their children, well, they were teaching their children religion, and they all had their own gods. The Philistines had Dagon, and you know, there was a whole range of gods that each of these places had. And they all taught, in various degrees, their children a kind of worship that involved worshipping man-made images. It involved the sacrifice of human beings, of adults and of children, like killing children on altars for the gods. It involved this, prostitution on an industrial scale at the temples. It involved the mutilation of the human body in rituals. It involved sorcery. It involved divination. It involved bestiality. There's lots of stuff you don't even want to talk about. And that was what was happening around Israel while Psalm 78 was being composed, saying, look, we're going to teach you about a God who loves this nation and about a God who ennobles this nation and ultimately about a God who will send his own son to die for us on a cross. A God who is gracious, who is full of mercy, who is compassionate, who defends those who are suffering from injustice. That's the God we're going to teach about. He is in stark contrast to the gods of the nations round about. Now, it might not be quite as dramatic today for the Christian living in Britain, but we are still surrounded by people whose belief systems are, at the very best, depressing and degrading. Take atheism, for example. It's just as well that in this country atheists do not live consistently as atheists. Just as well. The fact is, most atheists, even when they profess atheism, are building their lives on what remains of the Christian heritage of our country, and it's just as well they do. Because if they didn't, if they actually consistently lived by their atheism, then they would find no ultimate purpose to live, because when they die, that's it. That's it, it's all over. They would have no concern about a final judgment. Indeed, many atheists profess to be wonderfully liberated from worrying about a judgment day, which means that they lack the motivation to live well that Christians have. And they have no basis for their morals outside of what society wants at the time. And so they're likely to go whichever way society goes, as they did, for example, in communism. And it can be a nightmare for people who don't agree. The reason why people like Richard Dawkins have the platform they have is because of the Christian heritage of this country, which allows them to speak freely. And they will not be shot or hung or assassinated by Christians for doing so, as they might be in other regimes under other religious arrangements in this world today. Richard Dawkins wouldn't survive 5 minutes in some of the Muslim lands. If atheists lived consistently, if they strictly lived by their faith, it wouldn't be safe for our children. It wouldn't be safe for the vulnerable. Richard Dawkins, not so long ago, just as an example, and we need to pray for Richard Dawkins. We need to love Richard Dawkins. I hope Richard Dawkins will return to his Church of England faith that he had when he was a kid, when he prayed. He was in a Twitter feed on one occasion with someone who asked, I don't know what I'd do if I discovered I was pregnant with a Down's syndrome baby. And this is what Richard Dawkins, the atheist, said. He said, abort it and try again. It would be immoral to bring it into the world if you have the choice. Okay, that's his words exactly. So why do we want to indoctrinate our children? We want to indoctrinate our children with the Christian faith because we want to protect our children from other faith systems. And atheism is a faith system, very much so, because anyone who believes that this present glorious universe actually arose out of nothing has got an incredible faith. We want to protect our children from other faiths. We want to protect our children from what's going on around in the mindsets and worldviews of people who don't know the living God and his Son, Jesus Christ. We make no apology about indoctrinating, because it's a positive thing. Everyone is indoctrinating, but what we have to indoctrinate our young people and our children with, as well as what I have to indoctrinate you with this morning, is the best news in the world. It is gospel. It is, as William Tyndale said, I wish I could remember his quote exactly, gospel, that which makes a man dance for joy. That's what we have. Where people find their purpose. Where people get to know that there is a judgment and that there is a sorting out of all that's wrong and unjust and distorted in our world. Where people get to know that there's meaning, there's ultimate meaning, there's a point to life. Where people get to know that there is a God who created, a God who cares, a God who rules over all things. Where people get to know that there's a way to find this God, a way to know this God, and a way to find healing and wholeness and forgiveness and peace from this God. Where people get to know that there's eternal life to be had. And where people get to know that there is salvation and deliverance from that which separates us from God, from our own sins. Where people get to know that through what God has done for them in Jesus, they can have a glorious future. Where people get to know about Jesus and about his love for us, and that he gave his life for us, that he offers his life to us today. No apology for telling people about that in the present climate, where the other worldviews that are being offered by other world religions and by atheism and by apathy and by all the other isms and worldviews that are out there are ultimately degrading, disappointing. We have the gospel, and we should tell our children, and we should tell our teens, and we should tell our community about that, and make no apology for doing so. God help us, God bless our efforts, and God turn the hearts of our children to him, and our young people to him, and our neighbours, and our colleagues, and our friends, and our families, to the glory of his name, and to their good forevermore. Amen.